Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Oh, okay. It's gonna be one of these days with the computer just not firing anything up. Just the spinning circle of doom. Huh. Interesting. Anyway, welcome. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. And some folks sent me on my cell phone, sent me some pictures of the Moog walkout. And if you are an employee or a supporter of the people walking out at Moog, you want to put us in the picture, you want to take us behind the scenes, we invite your telephone call at 803-0930, star 930 on the cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Now, I must tell you that the pictures I received show a lot of people. I mean, it looks like there were hundreds of people who were taking part in the walkout at Moog. And I want to go to the story at WBEN.com. Dateline, Elma, New York. I always feel so official and newsy. Dateline, Elma, New York. Hundreds of Moog employees walked out in protest of a company mandate requiring employees to be vaccinated for COVID-19. Jim Bebeck, an engineer at Moog, says he doesn't understand why employees must be vaccinated before December 8th. Apparently, the federal government's afraid that unvaccinated people touching things we're making for fighter jets, helicopters, missile systems is going to affect them adversely. In fact, you just heard that bit of audio during Tom Puckett's newscast on WBEN, and I'm sure Pasquale is already on getting us additional audio from the scene of the walkout. In fact, our tweet, as employees walk out of Moog today in response to their vaccine mandate, they'll be joining over 100 supporters for their cause. So there were people from the outside who also came in to show their support for the Moog workers. One of the organizers, Matt Scheiber, says he's not fighting against Moog. We're fighting on behalf of Moog. After all, we're in this together. Was that snark? After all, we're in this together. I don't know. Our goal is to take this mandate to court so Moog and other similar federal subcontractors aren't forced to fire workers or limit future candidates based on future procedures. He wants all religious exemption requests to be upheld. And we talked actually a little bit last week with people who have been able elsewhere to successfully obtain religious exemptions to the mandate. Now, right after the meeting last week, we read this memo on the air. Some of you Moog people were nice enough to send it to us here at WBEN. And right after the mandate meeting, our phones blew up here. And I mentioned this the day it happened, but the phones were going crazy anyway, right? And then suddenly I look at the phones and I'm watching Pasquale Maggiore in the next room just answering call after call after call. And I thought, oh no, I have dropped the word. After all these years, I've dropped the word. People heard it, and that's going to take some splaining to do. But no, I didn't drop the word. It just so happens that for whatever reason, many of you who work at Moog are familiar with his radio station, familiar with this show, familiar with David's show, familiar with Brian Mazurowski and Susan Rose and B-Maz and Beamer, and you were on us like white on rice. And in fact, as I mentioned, we had a copy of the memo Moog sent to its employees. We got a copy of it, and we actually read it shortly after the meeting took place. Now, if you guys are protesting, what you're really doing is you're protesting the mandate by the federal government. I don't know that Moog has a choice in this. They are a federal government contractor, and an executive order, not an act of legislation, but an executive order was issued by President Joe Biden, in which these coercive measures were taken to get you vaccinated. And, you know, I think we all know somebody who works at Moog. Do we not? Now, I'm imagining here that the Moog situation, you've got, like anywhere else, you've got people who are vaccinated, but they support people's right to choose. You've got people who are vaccinated who believe everybody ought to be vaccinated. And you've got people who just are absolutely dead set against any mandatory vaccination, in particular with something that is as novel or as new as the COVID-19, I'll put air quotes up, vaccine. We had a memo this morning. No telling how many will walk out at noon. And I'm told that there are three factions within Moog. Just kind of talked about that a moment ago. Vaccinated workers who vehemently oppose mandates. Unvaccinated workers who say they will not comply. And vaccinated workers who wonder what all the fuss is about. Now, you work at Moog, or let me get around this some other way. You know somebody who works at Moog, maybe a family member, maybe a wife, a husband, a son, a daughter, an in-law, whatever. You got somebody in your collage of friends who is a Moog employee. And I would like to find out from you guys what the sense is inside Moog. Is the sense, I mean, it's a big place. We're talking about 3,900, 4,000 people. As I recall, they expanded considerably within the last several years. And the last time I checked, I think they were already running out of room, even with the expansion they put on. But you're talking about thousands of people who are employed there. Now, I almost hesitate to say this, but I think I'm going to qualify it enough that it's not ethically flawed. The number I have heard, and here's where I need you to pay special attention. Special attention. This is important. It is a rumor. I have no way to confirm it. Nobody could have any way to confirm it. But it is a rumor that roughly 30% of the people who work at Moog are not vaccinated. Is that a true number? I do not know. Is that a false number? I also do not know. It would not surprise me, based on some of the statistics I've seen from New York State and various regions within New York State, like 66% of people vaccinated, 72% of people vaccinated, at least one shot. Now, that leaves quite a number of people who are not. Now, looking at everything, the big picture here, just imagine that I'm flying one of those wonderful helicopters in which Moog employees locally play such vital parts in putting together. And parts, no pun on that. And let's just say I'm at 10,000 feet. Yeah, 10,000 feet is a great altitude at which to be. But I'm looking out, And I'm trying to get a sense right now for what's going on the ground with you Moog workers. And I want to find out, where is your head? Now, something that we talked about last week is, and I think this is very, very important. When, and again, I don't know who is and who is not vaccinated. I don't know the positions or jobs of those who are not vaccinated, who are going to refuse to get the mandatory vaccination. But we actually, I believe, talked about this the day Biden issued his executive order. What are you going to do when the brightest, smartest people in the world who work on defense systems and weapon systems and offensive weapons, what are you going to do if the smartest people in the world refuse to get vaccinated? And where does that put the national security of the United States? And as I mentioned last week, our atomic program was initiated in a letter written by Albert Einstein to FDR back during the Second World War. It was no secret, by the way, that the Germans, the Nazis, that they were working on a weapon of mass destruction. And we had just begun to understand the power of unleashing the atom. And Einstein wrote a letter to FDR, and they, at the White House in Washington, they mulled over what the distinguished physicist had to say. And our government during the Second World War realized, you know what? There's something to what this Einstein guy is saying, and we had better start figuring out how to harness the power of the atom. So you had brilliant people like Oppenheimer taking part in what was known as the Manhattan Project. There were some components of that project, I believe, happened right here in Western New York and in various places across America. But it was late in the war where the first atomic blast in the history of the world took place in the desert sands of New Mexico. And Oppenheimer looked at it, and he quoted a text and said, no, not a cell phone text. He said, "I am become death, the destroyer of worlds." That was the power that he felt, being one of the key physicists in the development of the atomic bomb. And keep in mind that at that particular point in the Second World War, we were faced with the very unpleasant possibility of having to launch a massive invasion of the Japanese home island against a fanatical civilian population which was being trained to fight with every weapon at their disposal. In short, an invasion of Japan would have cost millions of lives, Japanese lives, American lives. I've read estimates that the United States expected to suffer 1 million casualties. 1 million casualties in any invasion of Japan. Now, the Japanese military, which basically was running the country at that point, a guy named Tojo, they were not going to, they were not going to surrender. They were not going to surrender. The United States, our Navy and the Marines and our fighting people all over the Pacific, they were going island to island to island. Places like Iwo Jima and Guadalcanal and all those places, Tinian, and maybe places your grandfather or great-grandfather talked about because he was there. And it was bloody, bloody, bloody. So much American blood was spilled on the shores of little specks of land in the Pacific Ocean between Hawaii and the Empire of Japan. And based on the fearsome resistance faced by our people and the Aussies and the other allies who were taking part in the Pacific Theater of Operations in the Second World War, once the atomic bomb came along, the president at that time, Harry Truman, who, by the way, had served in the trenches of World War I, yes, diminutive, soft-spoken Harry Truman, under fire, the bespectacled man earned a lot of respect from a lot of tough Missouri boys in those trenches. And he knew what war was about because he'd experienced its grimness and its horrors firsthand. And when he was told that we actually, in New Mexico, had successfully detonated an atomic bomb, he basically gave orders for our military to use it forthwith against Japanese targets. Now, I happen to be somebody who believes very strongly that that decision by President Truman, although it was horrible, you start talking about atomic bombs and using them on cities, it's horrible. But you know what? So was firebombing Tokyo. So was firebombing Hamburg and Dresden. And at the end of the day, dead is dead. Whether it's by atomic weapons or whether it's by conventional ordnance, dead is dead. And at the end of the day, doesn't really much matter how you got there. But Harry Truman ordered the atomic bomb to be dropped. And the first one was dropped on Hiroshima. Japanese didn't surrender. Imagine that. You see one of your cities wiped off the map. Your military people come back to Tokyo and they say, we have no idea what just hit us, but Hiroshima no longer exists. It was obvious to anybody with half a brain that the United States had an incredible weapon of mass destruction. And Harry Truman went on newsreels and radio, didn't really have much TV back then, and he promised Japan that if Japan did not surrender, it could expect a rain of ruin from the air, the likes of which the world has never seen. And a couple of days later, atomic bomb number 2 was dropped on Nagasaki. And after that, the Japanese military still did not want to surrender. Did not want to surrender. They had a big meeting, and the Japanese leadership was deadlocked. 3 in favor of surrender, 3 in favor of continuing the war. And one of the members of the Japanese government did the unprecedented and asked the emperor, the god emperor of Japan, Hirohito, what he wanted. And he said, I vote for peace as long as my position can be sustained. You know, a lot of people think Japan surrendered unconditionally, and that was the spin Truman and Washington put on the Japanese surrender. It wasn't unconditionally. Hirohito was the leader of Japan until, well, 1970s, early 1980s, and he very famously came to the United States and went to Disney World or Disneyland. I forget what. He went somewhere with the big mice, okay? That's what happened. But the reason I'm mentioning all of this preamble is this. The Manhattan Project involved some incredible brain power. People whose minds, people like you and I, we can't begin to fathom how they work. That's how smart they are. Now, if COVID had existed in the 1940s and Dr. Oppenheimer said, yeah, you know what? I'm busy working on the Manhattan Project. I don't want this vaccine. Thank you. Can you imagine President Roosevelt saying to Oppenheimer, well, you might be the smartest physicist we currently have working on the Manhattan Project. You might be the difference between us winning and losing the war, but gosh, Dr. Oppenheimer, you're not going to get the vaccine, so we're going to let you go. You're fired. You know, go to work for Japan. I mean, can you imagine that? And I have this horrible fear, bringing things to the current day, this horrible fear that we have some brilliant people at Moog who, because they have chosen not to get the vaccine, so-called, they are going to be out of work. Not only, and by the way, I'm pretty sure they don't qualify for unemployment benefits any more than the nurses, That's willful misconduct. Ladies and gentlemen, I think you can understand why I'm concerned that firing the best and the brightest, some of the best and the brightest people in our entire national defense hierarchy is short-sighted, and it is stupid. I mean, we can talk about the ethical issues of coercion with a new drug that they want to give people. But in a very practical sense, ladies and gentlemen, if Moog loses 5% of its best brain power, please explain to me how our defensive posture in the world is actually improved when you consider foes like Communist China and Vladimir Putin's Russia. How does the United States justify getting rid of the best and the brightest people who are very much responsible for you and me and our kids being able to sleep well at night because they won't get a vaccine? It doesn't make sense to me. It absolutely doesn't make sense. And I want to hear from people who have taken part in the walkout today and figure out what's going on out there on the lines. I wanted to drive out there, but unfortunately the schedule just was not going to cooperate today, and there's no way I could get out there and then back here in time for the show. So you're going to have to put me in the picture yourself. But this is just, it's one of those decisions. It's one of those edicts that the unintended consequences could actually put our national security at risk. It is frightening. Where are our priorities? Our priority, number one, should be to preserve, protect, and defend the United States of America. And I don't know how that is advanced if you end up terminating the employment of some of the scientists who are the big brains behind all those missiles we see test fired and all of those cool toys that our armed forces have to keep themselves safe and to do damage to the bad guys.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I can name that song in two bass notes. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. Welcome to the show, 237 on a Monday. So, you know the basics of the story, I'm quite sure by now. David was talking about it. We've had news reports on it, and we will hear from you on it. The situation of the Moog workers walking off the job because they are not happy with the vaccine requirement, which, I mean, the way I look at the situation, Moog doesn't really have a choice. If you do billions of dollars in business with the federal government and you have people to answer to at board meetings and shareholders and everything else, there's no way you can possibly justify, well, you know what? We took a principled stand against the vaccination. Now, we understand that our stock price is totally tanked and we have very little revenue coming in, but we took a stand. I mean, there's no way that's going to fly in corporate America. I mean, there are billions of dollars involved here. And with billions of dollars, you don't mess around. And as I understand the executive order, Moog doesn't really have a choice. This is something they have to do, unless I'm reading something wrong. But there's a bigger issue here, too, that I want to get into and explore with you guys. By the way, I do not read the text board. The text board, I save the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board for Alan Harris and any traffic updates. But my preference is to talk to you on the phone. Or read emails, especially when the emails come with nice little pictures that make it easy to read. Tom@WBEN.com, Tom@WBEN.com. And I don't read the text board simply because it would just be far too easy to be replaced by artificial intelligence. And I'm trying to forestall that day as long as possible and not make it easier, not give them any ideas. Huh? So the situation, look, I feel for the people at Moog. I feel for anybody who is operating under a vaccine mandate. Unfortunately, I don't know that the company has much of a choice. And down the road, I'm not sure how much of a choice any of us are going to have. Now, there is legislation right now in Albany. This is a bill. It is a proposal, okay? And what it does, it authorizes the New York State Health Commissioner to develop and supervise the execution of a program of immunization against COVID-19 for purposes of state aid to school, requires immunization against COVID-19 for attendance at school. So if this passes, and is there any doubt that Kathy Hochul, oh, she's so moderate. I'm sorry, Kathy Hochul's just such a phony. I mean, when she was running for Congress against Chris Jacobs, oh, I'm moderate. I'm not one of these far-out fringe lunatic Democrats. And now that she's governor of New York State, we see her true colors. She is as left as they come, which I find deliciously ironic because this woman last summer was talking about the summer before, actually, was talking about, oh, the systemic racism and our establishment has been oppressing people for far too long, blah, 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 blah. And what the irony is, here's a woman whose entire career is being a part of the establishment, and her husband also a part of the establishment. He was the U.S. attorney for the Western District of New York State. I mean, I got to tell you, it takes chutzpah to stand in front of microphones and TV cameras and talk about the evils of the system when you are one of the biggest parts of the system there has ever been. I mean, between the two of them, I'm pretty sure their pensions equal Josh Allen's contract. I could be off maybe by a little bit, but I'm pretty sure that'll be the case. All right. So they're going to, what they're going to do is, I suspect this will probably pass in Albany. God forbid we actually follow procedure and we actually have bills going through the Assembly and the Senate and then signed into law by the governor, as opposed to a simple executive order, which seemed to be all the things. Let's bypass the legislative branch and just let's issue executive decrees. But you see what's going on here, folks. Down the road, here's what's going to happen. You are going to be told that your kid has to receive the COVID shot or your kid can't go to school. And what they're going to do is they're going to crack the whip on school districts. And if school districts say, well, we're not going to enforce that, we believe in parental choice, well, they will have their state aid withheld. And you know how important state aid is. And I'll get right to the telephone calls. But, you know, what a difference 40 years makes. Because when I was a kid, and you were a kid too at one point, going in the Kenton School District, Kenmore, Tonawanda, we were told in multiple classes, I kid you not, honest to God truth, on the souls of my children, I will tell you that we were literally told, even if you are sick, we need you to get into school. You can go home right after attendance is taken, but even if you are belching blood and hacking up brain material, we need you in school because we need our state aid. And the point being that New York State has these school districts by the short hairs because of the state aid that comes in, which is really just wealth distribution from us to them. But anyway, they're going to start mandating. I don't know when this is going to happen, folks. I don't know when. But is there any doubt in your mind that this vaccine is going to be mandated for children as young as, maybe younger than 5 years old? Is there any doubt in your mind that we are heading toward a country where, unless you are vaccinated, you basically won't be able to do anything? I can see a time in the not too distant future where you're not going to be able to hop on a plane, a train, a rented automobile, or any other conveyance unless you can prove that you've been vaccinated against COVID-19. You already can't do sporting events and concerts at certain venues unless you are vaccinated. They're going to make it a prerequisite of going to school. And I know the argument. Oh, Tom, what are you, some kind of a lunatic anti-vaccine person? I mean, you had to have all of those shots before you went to school. And the difference is pretty obvious. It stares you right in the face. The difference is this particular shot is right out of the box. It's right off the showroom floor. And there simply is not sufficient data. Take two. There simply are not sufficient data to guarantee the safety and effectiveness of this particular medication. How can there be? Unless they have a time machine somewhere at CDC and they've been able to go 5 years into the future and to say, yep, we've looked at this and there's no issue with it. Get back to me in 3 or 4 years on the COVID vaccine. I may have a different opinion, but as for right now, I don't blame people at all for being skeptical and not wanting to put such a new thing into their body and being told by government, you either do this or you're not going to be a nurse anymore. You either do this or you're not going to work at Moog anymore. There's something that doesn't add up to me. And call me a conspiracy theorist lunatic. That's fine. I've been called far worse. But have you ever seen something that has been pushed so aggressively and with such an egregious disregard for my body, my choice, as this particular shot has been? It is coercive. As far as I'm concerned, for all intents and purposes, this is an experimental thing at this point. Until we have longitudinal data for 3, 4, maybe 5 years. And the Nuremberg Medical Protocols 1946 specifically say that you cannot be coerced into receiving something that is experimental. There shall be no coercion. This is coercion. So medical ethics are being violated every day. I've talked about this with attorneys. No attorney has said, I'm wrong. Let's go to the calls on WBEN 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Talk to me about Moog, and talk to me and your fellow listeners about where you see this vaccine thing heading. And I'm afraid, very afraid, that if you are not vaccinated, you're going to be canceled. And if you get fired because you're not vaccinated, you're not going to have any recourse. You will be deemed in willful violation of your company's policy. So no unemployment for you, no soup for you, you're screwed. I mean, talk about, this is like medieval torture, but it's far more sophisticated than the guy with the executioner's hood and the bald head and the big gut and the leather, which actually sounds like last Friday night, which I'll tell you about later. Let's go to Jack in Cheektowaga. Jack, you're on WBEN. Welcome.
Well, thank you. You know what? I was actually, I called in because I have a buddy of mine who actually walked out of Moog once they heard this was coming down the pipe, and he just pretty much walked right off the line, left, and didn't even give him any knowledge, says, I'm out of here. I'm not doing this. And I have another buddy who's been standing outside and has walked out today. And, you know, my stance on it and from what he said to me is that, the argument that Moog has no choice, well, that's great. Moog may not have a choice when it comes to the government contracts, but Moog will not be able to fill the government contracts without the employees. So that's all good and well, and that was the mentality that he has.
Yep.
Great, lose your government contracts. You don't have them if you don't have employees. You can't fill the orders when 30% of your staff is unemployed or unvaccinated and refuses to.
Now, just out of curiosity, where are you getting that 30% number?
Well, he was even saying that that's what they're hearing.
Okay, because that's what I have heard secondhand. And I remember when I said 30%, and I said, please take this with a large grain of salt. I can't confirm it. I can't prove it. But that's the number I'm hearing from people at Moog.
That's exactly what he said. That's what's floating around there. Their question on that is they seem to think it's more than 30%. But, you know, the way they count it is what employees, you know, oh, it's 30%. Is it fully vaccinated? Is it not? You know, how many people only received one jab and said, hey, I got one, I'm good. You know, so the big thing with it is, you know, you don't have a business without employees. And this is exactly what needs to happen right now. Every single employee, I mean, we want our country to be the way the country is and the way it was designed to be for the freedoms of everybody, and we the people run the government, then everybody needs to go through a little bit of sacrifice and a little bit of hard turmoil to turn around and tell the government, listen, you need these helicopters and you need these tanks and you need all this defense equipment. You won't have it.
Yeah. Hey, President Biden, call China. Maybe they'll let you borrow a few helicopters. Okay, the situation at Moog. If you've got friends, family at Moog, you want to put us in the picture, would love to talk to you. And is it obvious to you now that what's happening is we are basically being told that unless you are vaccinated, you basically have no ability to earn a living. You have no ability. It's going to be, look, I mark my words, before long, they're not going to let unvaccinated people on planes, masks or no masks. Same thing with trains, or maybe even rental cars. There are two different Americas emerging. And obviously, we get a skewed view of things because we happen to live in one of the most totalitarian states there is, New York State. A little different view of things in states like Texas and Florida, which, frankly, I wish would secede from the union and get back to having a land in our hemisphere where we can actually live under the Constitution of the United States and not this neo-totalitarianism which is creeping into our lives. Back to Jack in Cheektowaga. Jack, I mean, look, you raise a great point and a point that's been on my mind as well, which is, hey, you've got these brilliant engineers and defense workers. It's not like you can put an ad in the news And oh, you're bussing tables? How would you like to design missile systems? Can't do it.
Well, you know, and here's the other one. I want to give you another hypothetical here, and just as something for everybody to think about. World War II, America went in and took all the greatest scientists from the Nazis after their fall. We created our NASA and the space program. You know, we advanced our weapon systems beyond any other country to this day. What do you do when you start doing authoritarianism and totalitarianism and you lose your greatest scientists to an adversary because they have less and they have more freedom? So my question is at what point is this government going to realize that, you know, you are they're creating a situation and they're creating a population that's going to take us back into the early 90s where it's Ruby Ridge and Waco and all these things. And you know what? I wouldn't be surprised to see it happen because, you know what? People have been fed up. You know, you want to force these laws that New York State's trying to force through as bills into, you know, mandated vaccines to go to school and to receive funding and social programs. Here's my stand on it. They're trying to enforce social programs with a social spending bill, but then turning around and telling you you're not going to get these benefits unless you're vaccinated. So really, essentially, there's no social benefit to it whatsoever.
All right, I got to move on to some other people. I thank you very much. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. A lot of you senior citizens are concerned that if you don't get vaccinated, they're going to withhold your Social Security checks. I have no idea if they would stoop to that level. Generally speaking, if you're a politician, there's something you don't mess with, and it's Social Security. You start messing with that, and you might as well pack your bags. Let's go to Mike on a cell phone on WBEN. Michael, hello.
Hey, I work at Moog, and it's not just about the engineers and the developers. It's the machinists, too. It's the people that are in the trenches making these components. To me, I look and I see Moog. In this aspect, we're being extorted. Every American's being extorted. For Moog, you see Southwestern, they went through it. They're, hey, fill out the medical exemption. We're going to sign it, blah, blah, blah. At Moog, I'm just so frustrated. The government just can't go and buy flight control systems from another company. The company just can't manufacture these things. It's like you have to start from the ground up. There are processes. This company's been running for God knows how long already, and the government just can't go buy out. I think that Moog has a leg to stand on, but they just don't want to stand on it. And it's, I know a lot of people there. I hear it's close to 40% of people that are not vaccinated there.
Hey, dude, Mike, do you mind holding on through the news break, and I will talk to you more after the news?
Yeah, sure.
All right, yeah, if you can do that, that'd be awesome. Hey, guys, I don't like when we come back from the news, I don't want to have to reset the entire hour again. So if you can just be on hold when I come back from the news, then you don't have to listen to me say the same things I've already said. So we can just get right to your telephone calls. I'll give a quick synopsis so the newcomers know what we're talking about. But I'd like as much time with you guys as possible. And, instead of trolling for calls, you'll already be there. 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Actually, I believe it would be trawling for calls. I think I used the wrong word. Ooh, spank me. Again?
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the pitch, hit, and run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.